Thanks, Rick. Thanks, band. You're wonderful. It's great to have you, Doreen, and Ken with us as well. And Catherine, if you're there. We love you guys, and we really miss you. And in fact, I want to pray for you now. Shall we all pray for Doreen, who is at the other end of that camera, if my phone connection is still working? Lord, we thank you for Doreen and Ken. We thank you for the way that they mean so much to us here at Jubilee. Thank you for the years of service. Thank you for their faithfulness in prayer. Thank you for their joy. Thank you for the way in which they have deposited so much in the church. And we just want to pray your blessing upon them this morning. Pray for healing. Pray for peace. Pray for a sense of you with them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll get on now. Is that okay? Spring is here. This week is the beginning of spring, and that's my favorite time of year. I just love spring. The days are getting longer, feels a bit warmer. Thank you, Rick. And new life is coming, and it always makes me think of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Do you know that story? C.S. Lewis. Somehow the spring, the breaking in of spring, just brings something to me of that story. If you remember it, the story, it's a wonderful story about children going through the wardrobe. A wicked witch has cast a spell on Narnia. Do you remember it? Oh, so some of you do. That's good. If not, you should read it or watch the film. And Narnia is in this perpetual winter. Snow is on the ground. It's a perpetual winter. And then there's a little character called Mr. Tumnus. And he says it's winter in Narnia. It has been this way for ever so long. Always winter and never Christmas. It's my favourite sort of phrase from the story. Always winter, but never Christmas, because this spell has been cast on Narnia. That's Mr. Tumnus there. But the thing is in the story that Aslan comes. Aslan is this lion, and it's a picture of Christ, and he began to move in the land. And as he did, everything begins to change. There's a particular bit in the film where the snow is everywhere and they're walking, and suddenly little crocuses are popping through the snow. Suddenly the grass can be seen. Suddenly it feels different. Warmth is coming. Even Father Christmas gets in on the story, if you know the story. But Narnia begins to change. The perpetual winter begins to change because Aslan is on the move. Winter begins to turn to spring. The snow melts, shoots of life spring through. It's a great story of hope, of the gospel, really. And today, as we continue, we're looking at Jesus' stories in this little series on the parables. And they're stories that Jesus told. And they might be little simple stories, but boy, are they profound. And boy, does God want us to be thinking about them and reflecting on them. And boy, do they speak to us. And the stories that we're looking at today are in Matthew chapter 9, if you want to look it up in your Bibles or on your apps. But we're going to read it together. I'm going to put it on the screen here. And I thought it'd be good just for us to read it, or you to read it to me. Otherwise, you won't be able to hear yourselves because I'm speaking. So let's read it, shall we? No one.
Thank you.
two little cameos, two little stories that Jesus told. And they're profound, aren't they? Two little metaphors. A patch of new cloth sewn on a garment and wine poured into old wineskins. They're pictures of breaking away from something and of expansion within something. Two little stories, but little stories that have a profound impact in their time, but has a profound impact on us today, if we have ears to hear. The first metaphor of unshrunk new cloth sewn into an old garment is a picture that would have been very familiar to the people of Jesus' time. They didn't live in a consumerist society like we do. Repairing of clothes would have been much more common in a non-consumerist sort of society. However, for most people who are listening to this little story, it would have been obvious that this wasn't a good idea to sew a new bit of cloth onto an old garment. A new bit of cloth would shrink after it was washed, and that causes the patch to tear away from the garment, creating a bigger hole than the hole was in the first place. So people would have heard this story and thought, well, and it would have got them thinking. And that's what the parables of Jesus do. They get us thinking. And that's why he shares them. He wants us to think, wants us to reflect, to be curious about, to wonder what he's going on about. And stories do that. And it may seem a simple little cameo about clothing, but Jesus had within it a deeper spiritual meaning that he would encourage us to listen to today. If we look at the passage just before that, Jesus has just healed a paralyzed man, and the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, they weren't a good bunch. They burdened people with all sorts of rules and regulations, all sorts of things that people had to do to be holy. There were sort of relentless rules about how to be righteous. Things that went way beyond what you even read in the scriptures. They just laid on more and more onto people, tying them up with burdensome things to do. I remember growing up with him, my best mate was a Jew, and I remember being really shocked that his mum wouldn't push a pushchair on the Sabbath because it might go through mud, and that would be regarded as ploughing, which was work. And I thought, crumbs, what a whole nother way. So that was a culture that was there. They didn't have prams in those days, but they had all sorts of things that was heaped upon them. And Jesus is sort of speaking into that. They were questioning his authority to heal this paralyzed man. And they were questioning why he was doing this. You think, well, wouldn't they just be grateful that this paralyzed man has been healed? But no, they wanted to say, what right did he have to do this? And Jesus responds by telling them that he'd come to call sinners to repentance, if you read the passage just before. And then he goes on to use this parable to illustrate the point that his good news message of repentance, of salvation, of grace, can't be contained within all of the Pharisees' old traditions and practices. What Jesus was teaching was a radical new thing. Something that if it was just patched onto their practices, their lives, would tear a hole in their restricted, burdensome set of rules. Jesus, you see, in this little story, was offering something new. That's what he was saying. Something that would break away from their religiousness and begin a whole new way of living. Whole new way of life, whole new way of love, of peace, abundant life, as he said. He came to give a message to these people. See, and parables make you think. They made the Pharisees think. They may have challenged the Pharisees. They may have actually insulted them as well. They may have definitely been difficult to hear by the people who are listening to. Because Jesus was saying, I'm a whole new way. I'm a whole new thing. If you just patch what I'm teaching into the lives as you've got them, it's actually going to make a bigger hole in the end. See, in a simple story, Jesus is razor sharp in how he gets to the heart of the issues. Jesus' radical new teaching wasn't to be just patched on to an existing garment. It was just couldn't be sewn on to something else. If that happened, it would just break away. Jesus was saying, teaching a whole other message. And perhaps these days we aren't trapped in the rules and regulations of the Pharisees. But you know what? Perhaps this parable still challenges us about the importance of embracing change, letting go of old ways. Do you think? Although in the context, it's very much about the old covenant and the new covenant that Jesus was bringing in. I think we can apply it to ourselves, can't we, today? How might we, Jubilee, have become religious or legalistic or just stuck in the mud? How, as a church, might we need to embrace change, let go of old ways of things that no longer serve us? What new things does Jesus want to do amongst us as a church? The second metaphor that Jesus uses is of this old wineskin, new wine being put into old wineskins. I don't know if it was a photograph actually of Jesus' time, but it might have looked something like that. But it was a familiar picture in Jesus' time. Wine was often stored in animal skins that had been treated to make them watertight. However, as the wine fermented, it expanded. My dad used to make wine, and he had these big jars with little bubble things on the top. And go into our breakfast room, you'd hear this little blob, 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 where these bubbles just kept coming out, the wine at the top as it was fermenting. Why? It's part of the process. It produces a lot of gas. And if they were new wine was put into old wineskins, as it fermented and expanded, it would stretch. And old wineskins were rigid and brittle. They had little flecks. And if you put new wine into it, it would just burst the skin under the pressure, spoiling both the wine and the skin. See, in this second parable, Jesus, perhaps he isn't speaking so much about the Pharisees' laws, and perhaps he's broadening it to, when he's saying old wineskins, to represent some of the individual ways that we can think and behave and live. Perhaps it's a story that speaks to us about things that we can do, that we can have embedded within us, that challenges us if we're curious to listen to what Jesus says. Perhaps it speaks to us about the ways we think that we've just taken on from our past or our upbringing. Speaks about our habits, our attitudes, our lifestyle, our prejudices. And we may have held some of these things for years, even though they don't serve us well. Perhaps it's a story which speaks into our self-talk, our insecurities, our doubt, old wineskins that are rigid, don't have flecks. Those little comments that come into our head, nobody loves me. I'm not worth it. I'm not important. These things can be deep within us, can't they, for all sorts of reasons. And maybe this little story makes us curious to begin to think, are these old wineskins? The new wine represents fresh, dynamic, transformative work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the picture is. The Spirit of Jesus. He came, he lived, he died, seated at the right hand of the throne. But he says, you know what, I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to come by my Spirit and be with you. He's here this morning. He's with us as we leave this place. And that very Spirit of Jesus within us is wanting to do something. And if we have got rigid wineskins, it's going to inhibit his growth in us. See, if we try and pour new wine of the Spirit into our old wineskins of our habits, our beliefs, something happens that the old wineskins can't hold the new wine. They'll burst and the wine will be lost. And to receive that new wine, which I think is God's invite to us this morning, sometimes we've got to be willing to let go of our old wineskins. We must be willing to let go of our old ways of thinking, and behaving and living. Letting go of our old habits. Letting go of our ungodly self-talk. And be willing to embrace change, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as was so wonderfully read for us in our verse this morning. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. It came out in the worship, didn't it, as well? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. But it can be a painful process sometimes, can't it? It can be a challenging process. It requires humility, vulnerability, courage. It requires us to admit that we don't have all the answers. For some of us, that's much harder than others, particularly the chaps. But we have to admit that we don't know everything, that we actually need God's help to change. And that's the invitation that this story, this little story, provokes this morning. But when we are willing to let go of our old wineskins and receive the new wine of the Spirit, something amazing happens in our lives. We are transformed. We become new creations in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. That sense of new beginnings, that sense of newness is everywhere in the gospel. As we become more and more open to the Spirit within us, we do begin to see the world in a different way, as we were saying, as Rick was saying, as we've been encouraged by Tom. But you know what? As we're open to the Spirit, we begin to see ourselves in a new way as well. That's why there's a challenge to some self-talk that isn't in line with the Scriptures. I'm not worthy. If that's a self-talk, it's so different from what Jesus would say, which is, you are my prince or princess. You are worthy enough for me to come and die on a cross. And we can stick with our old wineskins, or we can say, come Holy Spirit, and transform our thinking. Transform the very way we see ourselves. Come and transform the way that we live. Not trapped by old habits, but freed. Freed to live in a new way, to behave in a new way, to grow new attitudes, new ways of living in this world. Ultimately, to begin to love in a new way that reflects something of Jesus. Being other-centered, sacrificial. That's what the Spirit of Jesus does within us. I mentioned in update this week that I just sense a new season emerging. Now, half of you are thinking, oh, I wish I'd read update now. We got to 47%. Now, I know some of the ones who did open it, just look at the picture and then scroll quickly up. But for the 47% of you who did read update this week, you'd have heard, I don't know if that is a real, that's the number that our system says. I think some emails ban you from Church Fruit from knowing whether you've opened it or not. So as the ever optimist, I believe it's much more than 47% of you who have read update this week. because you've all got very secure emails and whatever. Anyway, I'm distracted. But I do sense we're moving into a new season. It's been a challenging few years, hasn't it? Through the pandemic, following on from the pandemic, we're still living with a lot of the pandemic. The economy, all sorts of ways we've been living through a time that's felt like a perpetual winter, hasn't it? And for churches across the nation, it's been hard. As I talk to fellow ministers and priests and vicars and whatever they're called, for many churches, it's been a tough time. There's been a great decline in the number of people coming to church. There's been a big decline in finances in churches. There's been a big decline in the number of kids and young people in many churches. And I just praise God that in our context that hasn't happened, that we have seen growth, that we still have kids and young people, even though they make loads of noise. That we've remained faithful in our giving, in our serving, all these things. I'm just so proud of Jubilee. But there is a cold wind of winter that's been blowing, like a curse on the land. I read some recent research this week that now in the UK, more people would prefer a Muslim prime minister than an evangelical Christian prime minister. Times are changing. As Christians, we are now seen very differently than 20 years ago when Jubilee was started. More and more, we're marginalized. We're views that we would hold, rooted in the scriptures, that were mainstream thoughts, and now more and more on the margins. Rick on these Sunday evenings talking about sexuality and gender has encouraged us to not be angry against the world or to withdraw from it, but or even to be the same as it, but to remain a faithful presence within it. He's been outstanding and served us so well for those who have come. There's lots of nods there, Rick.
About
47%, I reckon. But do you know what? More than ever, it's time for authentic, Spirit-filled, Bible-soaked Jesus followers to rise up and shine and to be salt and to be yeast. Amen?
Amen?
The kingdom of darkness has advanced and will keep advancing unless the church, us, his body, in some mysterious way, rises up with a confident humility so that the kingdom of light breaks into the darkness. Do you believe that? Yeah. I'm really glad, because that is a reality. Yeah. It's winter in Narnia, said Mr. Tumnus. It has been for ever so long, winter. Always winter, but never Christmas. But do you know what? Aslan is on the move. I really think he is. It's a season where we're going to see him advancing amongst us, in our town, and in churches that are full of the Spirit, Bible-soaked, authentic followers of Jesus at this time. See, these parables speak to us, I think, but they offer a challenge to us if we're willing to be curious about them. Our wineskins can become rigid, inflexible, tight. And we can slip into containing the Spirit rather than allowing his expansion in our lives. And it challenges us to be agile and flexible and adaptable and open to his work within us. And that is what he's saying this morning to us through this passage. Because he's wanting to work in us a new thing. He's wanting us to discover new things in this year of discovery about his presence in our lives. He's wanting us to go above and beyond into blessing, I believe. He's wanting us to discover new ways to reach people with the good news. Discover new ways to gather people in a place where they can belong. New ways to grow people to make a difference in this world. To discover new ways of us serving each other. Discovering new ways to glorify God. That's little pictures from our little book that we give out on Sundays, in case you hadn't realized. You see, our five G's: go, gather, grow, give ourselves in the service of others, glorify God. They remain, but we don't want them to become rigid, old wineskins. Even they must remain flexible. And the Spirit is going to prompt us to do things in each of these areas in this next phase of our church life together. There's a new work happening amongst us as we open ourselves to the Spirit. Winter's turning to spring. And do you know what? I've got a sneaky suspicion. In fact, it's not a sneaky suspicion. It's a growing deep conviction that the revamp of WC is part of that. I'm just so grateful to Esther and to Neil, who are working tirelessly to make this happen. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe how many decisions there are. I didn't know there were so many coloured blacks or whites. I didn't know. I went into a shop this week that's a doorknob shop. Did you know that there was such a thing as a shop that only sells doorknobs? I eventually got into it. I have never seen so many doorknobs. I was almost had a little panic attack. Am I going to get the right one for Esther? I don't know. So I FaceTimed her. I think she then FaceTimed our designer, interior designer as well. Neil, I went to a shop with him on Friday to buy a cooker. And I have never seen so many cookers. Combi cookers, commercial cookers. Neil has researched it, and Quinton's given us some advice. There's a particular one we want. And it just turns out that the place in the country is in Borden. And, I mean, you know, 10 times the size of this room, full of these cookers. I'm so glad Neil was with me. Is Neil here? He's there. He has become an expert. It was like a whole nother language they were talking. A PSI and a this and that, and does this one self-clean? And this one, I mean, I tell you, Neil is expert on cookers and has become expert on extractor fans and so many other things. So thank you, Leslie, because Leslie hasn't seen Neil for the last 2 months or 3 months. But do you know what? With all of the stuff that is happening, I mean, it is coming on now. They're the bathrooms. They are looking like bathrooms now. There is sinks actually in place now. I don't know if water comes through the taps yet. I think it does, nearly. Doors are in place. The place is beginning to change. It is becoming like a new place. And do you know what? I think there's something of God about it that is going to enable some new things to happen. We call it the Jubilee Community Hub. There's a little brochure that we put an update that just gives some of the things that we're talking to the council and architects about. But do you know what? I think it is like a new wineskin for a new work of the Spirit amongst us. I think the vision, as we've said, is to turn the dated, tired building into a vibrant, fit-for-purpose community hub to create a stronger sense of community and to reach and empower the most vulnerable in our community. And I think this is going to enable us to do that. And the more I've been in there, clearing the dust off things and brushing myself down and thinking, how many questions are there? I don't just see the building. I see what is going to happen in the building. I just look forward in the next month or next couple of months, you know, for our worship team to be back in there worshiping, for us to be gathering together to worship in the building. I look forward to those just working with Rick and Steve around some sessions around how do you hear from God, the prophetic. How do we hear from God in our lives, in the church? I'm looking forward to that sense of encountering God with us, the Spirit doing something amongst us, growing something within us. I just can visualize Alpha, the den, the youth, the jabber, the Sunday lunches. I've got more space for Sunday lunches, a cooker that will cook food. And I just think of Joe's hospice art group and the Stopgap dance team that used the building. I'm just looking forward to the Spirit doing a work in all these different ways, you know. I'd love to see the Saturday Night Out back on form. I just was standing there looking in. I thought, you know, the Metacrinos are going to have a field day in this place, doing some of those that we used to do back in the day before the pandemic. It's going to be a wonderful center for training. I think there's going to be so many things we do. Hayley wants to gather the kids workers to give fresh vision for what we're doing with the kids and the young people. There's going to be lots of opportunities to us equip people. And there's lots of new things that I think the Spirit is going to birth in us. We're going to see much happening in this whole area, I think, of families with kids with additional needs, the growing Hope Therapy Center. I think Nikki's got some vision for that. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I'd love to see the parenting programs back in there, the youth drop-in stuff. I mean, there's a whole long list. Make it a food bank distribution center, place where the stuff that Rose was at the back, she's not there anymore. When she was with Food Bank, was doing this Eat Well cooking program. Help people who use Food Bank just to be able to cook fresh food. I mean, it'd be great to do some of those things in this sort of space that we've got. Esther and I met with a guy who runs an IT company, who goes into companies, upgrades all their systems, got all these computers he doesn't know what to do with. Is there any way we could give them to people who need them? So we've met with the people from the debt advice collaborative work the churches do. There's many things beginning to bubble up as the Spirit is at work amongst us if we're open to that. I'd love the cafe to be open for the parents who drop their kids off. I'd love the fun days in the summer, the community events. All these things are going to happen, but you know what? They're part of the Spirit doing something, a new work amongst us. The Spirit bringing life, expanding what is happening. I spent ages just in my own little world thinking, I just want to do some jazz evenings under a stretch tent in the garden here. This would be so cool. I'm just so looking forward to it. Just the barbecue, we've got chill cabinets now. We've got all sorts of stuff that people keep, that we've managed to get over in this process. But do you know what? It's because the Spirit is doing something amongst us that is exciting, I think. I'd love to see what we can do to reach the people who do sport on Sundays. An alien species to me. But one that we can do some cross-cultural mission towards. We've got this idea to have some prayer pods. Just some little spaces, some rooms, like outside offices in the garden. That we can go and pray in, like sneaky prayers. You can book it out and do some sneaky prayers for the community. But also, they become space for us to have pastoral meetings, to help people, and to do all sorts of other things as well. And do you know what? It's partly the work of the Spirit amongst us that is causing people to come up with these ideas. And it's not going to be all happening at the same time, but it is something that we want to be aware of, that the Spirit is doing something expanding. And we don't want to be so rigid that we don't be open to that. And that's what we're trying to say this morning. So, the prayer pods, it's Eva, Kenny, is Kenny here? He's working today, is he? He wants to do that as like a barn raising, just warning you. He wants us all to do those. And I'm thinking, crumbs, that would be fun. Anyway, it's not about the building. It's about people. Because the Spirit of God is wanting to reach people. And wants us to share this wonderful good news that Jesus came to love people. And I believe the Spirit is saying to us today, are we as a church, old wineskins, are we as individuals a bit rigid? Or are we open to His Spirit working within us, extending what we're doing? Are there beliefs, attitudes that we've held on to for years and it's time and they don't serve us well? Actually, and it's time to say, no, it's time to move on from that, to be open to the transformative work of the Spirit. What thinking, behaving, living in me needs to change, in you needs to change, in us as a corporate body needs to change. So, friends, let's be willing to let go of our old wineskins and receive the new wine of the Spirit. Let us be open to change, to growth, to transformation. Let us trust in the goodness and the faithfulness of God, who is always doing a new thing in our lives. And this is a moment for a new thing. And we're going to break bread now. And if there's ever a symbol within the Christian life about this, it is really the thing that we do each week, which is to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. The whole of our faith is built on death and resurrection of something dying to prove that there is new life. And that's what we celebrate each week. Lots of other things as well. But as we're going to worship now, Tom's going to come up and the band. I'd love us to say a prayer as we're taking the bread and wine this week. It's a simple prayer. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, it really is. Come and fill me afresh. Come And may the things that are holding me back die. And may I receive the new wine of the kingdom of God. Are you up for that? Let's stand. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to worship. And I just invite you, when you're ready, to come down. And as you pop this little cap and drink this little, or eat this bit of wafer that represents Jesus' body, as you struggle to get to the wine, let it not be a distraction, but let it be a tangible way of saying, come Holy Spirit and transform me. Come Holy Spirit and transform us. Amen. Amen. Thank you.